Welcome back, everybody. This is Tom McNew again here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. Appreciate everybody tuning in to What Would Father Say? Here we are in our second week of our discussion on the precepts of the church. Remember, if you miss any of the shows, you want to go back and listen to them again, they're all available on our website, usually within a couple of days after their broadcast. And if you have to step away from today, this Friday, remember that on Sunday at 12:30, we will do an encore presentation of today's episode. For those of you that are regular or maybe irregular listeners, and you've got a burning question in your life or your family or wherever, something that you've come across in your reflection, meditation, or something, and you're really not sure what that means or what the right answer is, let's ask Father. Let's find out what Father would say about your particular question. So email them to me, tom@armorofgodradio.com, or you can use the contact link on our website, armorofgodradio.com. Send those in, and we'll bunch them up, and we'll have a special show later in the month, or later this month, where we'll answer all those questions. So again, tom@armorofgodradio.com. Just put "What Would Father Say" in the subject line there, and we'll get them packaged up and ready for Father John. Thanks, Father, for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure, Tom. Always a pleasure. Because I always
All
got
right.
something to say.
We are going to pick up here with the second precept. Again, for those of you that are following along in the catechism, we are on paragraph 2042, bottom of page 493, here in at least in my edition of the Catechism, paragraph 2042. And the second precept, you shall confess your sins at least once a year. That seems, again, to
Wow.
be a pretty
Pretty
low
low
minimum.
standard.
Yeah. I
Mother
mean,
churches.
for me, I have to go more often than that just because I can't remember everything that I do. That, I mean, I can't remember all the things that I need to go to confession for if I don't. I mean, once a year, good grief, I'd forget 90% of them.
People always accuse the Catholic Church, you guys have too many rules. No, we don't. We have five, and they're pretty low. I always tell people we have standards. They're low, but we have them. If you want to be a saint, it's pretty. Your Mother Church reaches down. How many times do I have to go? At least once a year. Yeah, and the truth is, people be doing us a favor. My whole congregation went at least once a year. I'd be in a confessional a lot. I'd have to have confessions almost every day, which would be okay with me. It'd be a regular part of my day. I just got back from a Steubenville conference with our. We took about 50 kids, 40, 50 kids, to Springfield, Missouri, from Steubenville, Mid-America. 4,000 teenagers were there. 62 priests, and in that time, we heard 2,000 over 2,000 confessions. They long when they see one or two kids going and get in line, they run over and they get in line. And yeah, so it's very powerful. Lots of healing, lots of forgiveness, a lot of one-on-one. But when it
But
comes to
this,
confession, that's like saying you only have to exercise once a year. Go ahead, you were saying?
no, I was just gonna say this seems that with that minimum standard, as you said, of one confession a year, it really kind of sets us up for the other part of that, and going to Mass and reception of
Yeah.
the Holy Eucharist.
Yeah. So it's a challenge. It is a challenge, I think, because the truth is, most people don't even come once a year. And so the Mother Church, again, like with Mass, Holy Days of Avocation, the question is, do we up it to once, twice a year, once a month, will more people fall off? Or do we keep it at once a year to make it more accessible? Because we do ask people to come to Mass every Sunday. They don't have to receive communion. But hopefully it builds up a longing for the Eucharist. But to be a saint, hopefully going to more confession than just once a year. But I think the church has to be very clear. If you're going less than once a year, you risk the danger of hell. Do you understand? That's a sin against Mother Church, not just washing away your sins, which is also a danger, but now you've committed a sin against Mother Church making a reasonable request and assuming that you're holy. I mean, maybe people, I only go once a year because that's all I have to because I'm a holy person. All right, I'd love to meet you because I don't know anybody like that.
I haven't sinned that much.
Yeah, they'll say, and but what happens is someone will come to confession who hasn't been in a year. I'm just coming from my, and then you find I haven't committed any sins. You just start asking, well, have you gone to mass every Sunday? Well, most of them. Well, that's a sin. You missed some? Yeah. Have you lied, cheated, or stolen anything? Well, maybe. I haven't stolen anything. Have you lied or gossiped, jealousy? Well, yeah. Well, then that's a sin. Oh, it is? Yeah. You know, Jesus says, if you look lustfully upon a woman, you commit adultery. Now, usually they'll say stuff, well, I haven't killed anybody. Oh, let's give you an
Nothing.
award.
So
And so
how do you respond to the criticism? And this is a little bit of the tail wagging the dog, I admit that, but the criticism that, oh, well, Father only makes confession available on 2 days a week, and I have to work. I have to
No,
work on Tuesday and Friday afternoons. And
I think it's a lame excuse. It's a lame excuse because if it wasn't available, they wouldn't always say, or by appointment, give me a call and we'll make it happen. That means they have to reach out. They have to reach out. So I think, yeah, it's a lame excuse. And if they didn't have that excuse, they would have some other excuse because being Catholic is demanding. Mother Church is very demanding of us. You know, we go door to door now and then, and well, at least once a month. And I remember walking up to a door, and I was so excited because it was a statue, a plaque of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I remember thinking, oh, this is a Catholic house. Fantastic. And so we ring the doorbell, and this Hispanic lady walks out. And I said, I'm Father John. I see, we're wondering where you go to your Catholic. She goes, oh, no, I'm not Catholic anymore. You're not Catholic. You have a statue of St. Francis and a crucifix and Our Lady of Guadalupe. No, we're Episcopalian now. Why would you do that? And she goes, well, it's easier. They don't make us go to confession. Now, people who are listening, that's pathetic. That is the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. You join a religion because it's easier.
It's
No
easier.
wonder it's easier. You know, pick up your cross and follow me. Shame on you. Shame on you. That's when you walk into a university. I want to go here because y'all are easy. Just give me my A. Tell me I'm a good person. I mean, that's Christianity in general now. I was watching a video about this, and Protestants are recognizing this, how for many churches they call it youth grouponization, youth grouponization of church. Well, a lot of churches will have this lively youth group, but have a traditional service. But then they'll say, well, let's just do this, make this our service. A rock concert, a TED talk, and an altar call, even though there's no altar. And it doesn't matter what you've done or how you're living, you know, just come on up and it's easy. Just accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and you are in. That's lollipop, cheap grace, Christianity. We need to start calling that out because we are human beings and we tend towards that. We tend towards it. We think, you know, in some cultures, they don't give any money in the basket. Well, that's straight from the priests. You know, for a long time, they taught many people, especially in Central and South America, church is supposed to be free. The church is supposed to be free. And so it becomes cheap, not sacrificial. You always follow the money. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And if people forget about, you know, I think of the confessional just like the dental chair. Nobody likes going to the dentist. I don't like going to the dentist. But when he pulls out that syringe and that drill, and let he's not there to make you feel good. He's there to do some deep cleaning. And also may take a drill or a hammer. Why? Because damage has been done. And it's easier just not to go. But what happens to someone who just doesn't go? Their whole jaw gets infected. They'll have, I mean, it'll actually, the infection will go down into their jaw. And then they walk around with no teeth or fake teeth.
Loose part of the jaw and the whole nine
And
yards.
actually, bad teeth, bad hygiene leads to, like
All kinds of stuff.
heart service, diabetes. I didn't know I was supposed to be brushing the teeth of my dog. I never did that. But they say he's supposed to wash, brush his teeth because the plaque goes down into his bloodstream. But brushing my dog's teeth is uncomfortable. It was not. Come here, open up. And he was not happy. He was not happy.
Can only
I don't have a
imagine.
dog right now. He's passed
Yeah.
away.
But
But
yeah, I think that this second precept really, I think, goes hand in hand with the third precept. Turning the page here,
Oh, we're
you
moving
shall
on.
re you shall receive the sacrament of the Eucharist at least during the Easter season. And we'll talk about that little phraseology here in a minute.
The Easter duty.
But I think, without the one, you really can't have the other.
No. You got to go to Mass every Sunday. But you don't, if you're not in a state of grace, you can't receive communion. And hopefully you long for it. You hunger for it. It's just like reconciliation, when you're having trouble with your spouse, remember a family, people desire or they hold on to it with pride. I don't need to do that. I'm not saying I'm sorry. And my goodness, that's pride at its ultimate, and if we say I don't need you, that should convict us. If I don't need to go to the Eucharist, people go decades without receiving communion, and after a while, it just doesn't bother them. Well, I'm not married in the church. Well, how long have you been married outside the church? 30 years. And it doesn't bother them. Their conscience has been suppressed. And what do you worship? What means a lot to you? What will it take? We don't have a good conscience. Our conscience should prick us.
It's clear that the belief in the real presence doesn't exist
Yeah, and if you
in
don't
those
believe,
cases.
if you believe in the real presence, believe that's Jesus up there, and you can't go, that should kill you. But if it doesn't bother you, then yeah, your faith is lacking. Everything is lacking. And we as priests can do it, should do a better job of. But I think it's the difference between justice and mercy.
How do you mean?
Well, receive the Eucharist at least once a year, go to confession at least once a year. Instead of calling people to task, it's almost like we just placate them. That's okay. I understand you're busy. I just do the best you can. Really? Is that the best we can do? Or do we push people higher? Because we belong in a culture that doesn't like to make people uncomfortable. In a few weeks here, Tom McNew, the diocese is going to ask me to start asking people for money for the CSA. I don't like that. I hate asking for money for other people. People who give the most, and they have to give for everybody else. And we ask them for more money. It's like there's an old saying says we shoot our own wounded sometimes. And that's why I think we have to hit the streets more and challenge people. Are you Catholic? Have you been to Mass? What keeps you? Do you know that you either the church is true or it's not? They like a cafeteria because I'm Catholic, but I don't believe it. And what the church says, if you miss Mass without a good reason, that's a mortal sin. Why doesn't that scare the hell out of you? It scares the hell out of me.
And there's an argument that could be made that If these positive laws, these precepts were a little more stringent, a little more strict, or a little tougher, there's an argument to be made that might help keep more people in the
Maybe,
pews. I don't know. I mean, it's
maybe I don't know
philosophical
because
thought, but.
it is. It's that delicate. There's a sweet spot there, because if everything goes, we know those churches are dying. We know those churches are dying. But you go to the other end, we have fundamentalist churches that are also dying. Bible thumping, rock, brimstone, fire and brimstone. Everybody's going. We could see. But so there's got to be some sweet spot of evangelization, catechesis, and discipleship. Where do we meet people where they're at and love them enough to challenge them to come higher? We have to, and it's a fancy term the church uses now, accompaniment. We go meet them where they're at and we accompany them out. When someone says, I can't receive communion because I need an annulment, well, come see me. We'll sit down and work on this together. We'll do this together. That's what compassion means. And if I can't get to church or no one will take me, well, that calls for community to reach out and say, no, I'll make sure you get there. Having said that, people find their way to things all the time. We have Uber now. I talked to an elderly couple that their son used to take him but won't take him anymore. So why don't you just call your Uber? Oh, okay, yeah. But we made it, but you can make it so accommodating and it encourages them not to come, like having mass on TV. Well, I hear that all the time. Why well, I haven't gone to mass all the time, but I watch on TV. And you better hope, I heard that there's a room in hell that has heaven on TV. Is
Pretty
that
cool.
going to give you solace? I think it comes from a really a not a, they're not afraid of hell. People are no longer afraid of it. Everybody goes. There's all kinds of people out there. Christianity said God would never do that. So they presume God's mercy. And that makes God, and hold on tight, that turns God into a punk. Turns him into a punk. We just presume his mercy. I hope that's not blasphemous, but that makes God into, it's a presumption. Oh no. A man says, I'll cheat on my wife. She doesn't care. She'll forgive me. Wow, what a slap in the face. What an ultimate form of respect. You presume their mercy. You're taking advantage of their love. Well, mercy ends at death, and God will not be mocked.
So then let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room here
Uh-oh,
with
many elephants.
with this idea that and we've seen it across the country in some isolated, thankfully isolated places where bishops have said, yeah, you don't need to come to mass.
Yeah,
They're offering a
and that's it.
dispensation.
Yeah, that is well within his authority. I just think it's not helpful, and it sends a message. It sends a message. It's kind of like what did the government send a message when they closed all shops except liquor stores? What are they telling us? And when a bishop says to his faithful, "Oh, you don't have to go to mass anymore because it might be difficult," and then what does it say to the people in China and Africa who crawl on their bellies? Do their best to get to mass. It's
Or the
clinging to people's face.
I think about these the Catholics in Nigeria that, every time they
China.
walk into a church that they are risking abduction.
Rwanda, the Sudan, Congo,
But they go
anytime that,
faithfully.
yeah, people in Muslim countries, in Madagascar, and in Saudi Arabia, where it's not even allowed, but they do whatever it takes to get to mass or to have something, or the Oman or UAB. But I think it comes from, again, a place of we don't want people to feel uncomfortable. That's again, it goes back to the crack,
Anomalies.
the lockdown, where people are afraid. Okay, well, Jesus said this would happen. There might be some suffering involved. Sure, I tell people all the time. When you drive out of my parking lot and go home, you have a 10,000 to 1 chance of getting to an accident. Okay. Does that mean you don't come? No. What if it was 100 to 1? I mean, this is something we shoot for. And sure, it involves suffering. It involves risk. I think we have become just a soft church of nice. We take our kids to a work camp every year. We don't go to summer camp. You know, they go and they play on the slide and, you know, go swimming. And they have, you know, we take our kids to a work camp. And there's a certain amount of danger involved. One camp, we had them all using chainsaws. Teenagers.
That's dangerous. Yeah.
That's a bit better than 10,000 to 1.
Yeah.
But painting and scraping, we had kids dropping paint on themselves. And we had kids sawing off limbs. We even had kids climbing trees.
Tree limbs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tree limbs.
Tree limbs. Tree limbs. Go. Not people limbs. Tree limbs.
But even when we worked on streets, you know, I'm gonna try to take the kids to pick up trash here in some parts of Temple. Mm-hmm. There's a certain amount of danger involved. And and that's where men come in. Because women say, oh, no, I want to keep them safe. Oh, no, I'm afraid. You know, my grandma was always afraid. But it's men that say, no, let's get out there. Yeah. Sure. There's some risk involved, but it's how we grow up. This is how we grow up.
Roll your sleeves up, put some gloves on, let's get busy.
And somebody's going to get hurt sometimes. We've become pretty soft in our Christianity. Christianity's become very soft, doesn't demand anything of people, sacrifice, and doesn't demand anything at their home. And when, with the exception of the Catholic Church, people don't want God in their bedrooms. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't tell me what contraception and fornication and pornography. Oh, no, we just love everybody. No, you love them enough to say, is there faith in their home and in their relationships? And Mother Church has guidelines, precepts, expectations that do cause for sacrifice. Because real religion is about sacrifice. I was talking with a couple who wants to become Catholic. She's Catholic. He's not, but he wants to become Catholic. And she wants to receive communion. I said, we can do this one of two ways. Either way, we'll call for sacrifice. First is, you go through the marriage prep program, go to confession, and we get you married in the church, then you can go back to communion. Or you can go to confession and live like brother and sister. Either way, there will be sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And they look at you, isn't there an easier way? What? You just want it easy. Yeah, it is easy. Go to confession and move to another room. Is that going to be easy? Not for a married couple. A young married couple is not. It calls for sacrifice, self-discipline, fasting. And
that's hard.
That's just what Jesus taught us. He even taught us that I can't even, you know, comb your hair and wash your face. you and I don't have to worry about one of those things.
No, the hair.
Anoint your head and wash your face. Don't let anybody Why are we fasting? Because we're making ourselves uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Because sacrifice is worship. So nowadays, what is worship now? On a stage.
Yeah.
With no Eucharist, no altar.
Yeah.
Singing feel-good songs.
Bunch of guitars.
I don't mind guitars as long as they're in the back.
Yeah.
As long as any instrument.
So we got about 4 minutes here. So I just want to kind of the last
what
little piece.
What were we on?
With third, but the last little part of this is during the Easter season.
Yes.
Or at least during the Easter
season. During our most, because the Easter season is the most, well, it's, I always thought it was like, you know, during the Triduum, during Easter Sunday, or at least during the time we're celebrating the resurrection. Because that tells us that that is the most important part of a liturgical year. You know, the Triduum, we always say the Triduum, if the whole year was a week, then Triduum would be the Sunday, most important. And it tells people that Easter, as opposed to Christmas and Ash Wednesday, is our highest solemnity, and we should celebrate it to the hilt. And if you haven't gone to confession and can't receive the Eucharist, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
On the most important day of the year.
The most important day to celebrate the resurrection, and we get to receive the body, blood. It's like we're in heaven. This is heaven. Are you ready? Are you dressed? What did Jesus say in that
Oh,
parable?
yeah.
The guy came with a t-shirt and wasn't well dressed. Throw this guy outside where there is wailing and grinding of teeth. That's horrific. They make horror movies out of that kind of thing. Into Gehenna where the worm dieth not. Oh my goodness. What about no? Don't we just want to may just love everybody, make everybody feel safe and welcome and comfortable. We got churches that'll do that. White comfy churches. So, by Reverend Becky something or have a puppet or something.
Seventh
Anyway.
Street Church of
Yeah,
the Red Brick House or whatever.
celebration. We'll make you feel good. Goldstein. Go to Goldstein. He'll make you feel good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He'll take your money too, but that's a different conversation. But yeah.
He makes all his money on books in his defense.
Oh, that's a true statement. That is a true statement. Father, we got about a minute and a half here. Final thoughts and a blessing, if you don't mind, please.
Final thoughts is the source and summit of our faith is the Eucharist, is the Mass. We're always shooting for that. We should long and thirst for it. And if something keeps it from us, then we have some healing to do. It
Amen.
starts with baptism, starts with confession, and ends with the Eucharist and sends us back out on mission. Because that one day we'll stand before the Lord. He said, I died for you. Did you live for me? And hopefully we won't say, I did the least. Is that what we're going to say? I got a C minus. Well, and if you didn't do that, it's going to be a tough day. All glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the
Amen.
beginning, is now, and ever shall
And
be,
shall be
world without end.
without
Amen.
end.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Father. We'll be back next week. We've got two more, two and a half more, as the argument goes, maybe. Maybe three precepts of
Maybe.
the church here to go. So we hope everybody will tune back in and join us here on What Would Father Say on Armor of God Catholic Radio. Your home for Catholic radio in Central Texas. See y'all next week.